Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The amount of women at this Met Gala I'm seeing try to walk up these stairs who cannot move upstairs.
It's so silly.
But also, why are there always stairs? There's always stairs at the Met Gala because you always see pictures of the people on the stairs. So if that's a thing, then why are we creating outfits that you can't physically walk upstairs?
Okay, because you started by saying, why are there stairs? I felt like you were questioning why stairs. You quickly, you know, veered in a different direction, meaning why wear things that are not good for stairs. I thought you were questioning why stairs at first.
Well, no, I assume that this is at a particular venue and that there happens to be stairs. And
yeah,
so it is what it is with the stairs. So there you go.
I got to ask you guys a question.
Now, there's got to be some way to circumvent stairs at the Met, right? I mean, there's got to, it has to
carry
be.
You. You get carried.
Well, no, I mean, there has to be ramps. It has to be compliant with codes. So I would imagine there is some actual way to get up. But I guess these stars don't want to be in a wheelchair going up a ramp or something. Instead, they are being carried up every single stair.
That's what do you got, Tara?
Like multiple stars I'm seeing be carried up the stairs. Yes, Tara?
So there's two big events in New York City tonight. You got the Met Gala and you got Pacers-Knicks game one. Which of these two events would you rather be at tonight?
Go ahead, Amber.
Now, typically that would be an easy answer for me because I'm a sports fan and
really
I'm not really a pop culture fan and I don't actually even know some of these people that end up being at the Met Gala. But I think in this rare scenario, I would choose the Met Gala because it seems so unbelievably crazy and strange. Like, I don't understand it. I know it's unbelievably exclusive, right, to get the invite there, even though Ben Simmons is there. It's supposed to be this huge deal if you get the invite to the Met Gala, and then you have to dress crazy. And so what that would mean is that there'd be hella good people watching. And I also wonder how many of these people actually just go to the Met for the red carpet, walk into the event, and leave. Because if I'm wearing one of these dresses you can't physically move in, I better have pajamas waiting on the other side. Like, there better be yoga pants hiding for me in the bathroom so when I get inside there, I'm changing into some sweatpants and we're out the back door.
This is really easy for me. I mean, come on, what are we talking about here? I'm going Met Gala. I get to dive deep into my closet. I got some stuff I want to wear. I'm going to break some stuff out of the back of this closet. I'm going Met Gala. I don't care about the Knicks. I don't give the Knicks any love. The Pacers, I'm not going to Knicks Pacers. I'm going to the Met Gala. I'm going to wear something funky.
So I'm sorry, Amber, but I got to kind of call your bluff on this because, like, as women, like, I'm a very practical person, but there are times where I have sacrificed being practical in terms of, like, looking good.
Oh, well,
so,
there
like,
are
I'm
many
sure
times.
You have, too. So that's, like, what all these
like,
people are doing tonight. Like, who cares
I've
that I have to walk
worn
upstairs? I'm going to wear whatever I want to wear. I don't care that I have to walk upstairs.
Every time I've ever worn high heels in my entire life, it was sacrificing in order to try to look good because those things are unbelievably uncomfortable. Every time I've worn a bra, Zaslow, in my entire life, it has been to look good and not necessarily for comfort. There's a lot of things about being a woman that, yes, are a sacrifice. But being paper mache'd into a dress like these women are, I mean, it seems a tad extreme, I have to admit. Like, that's probably not the outfit I would have chosen for the Met Gala because, again, these women, they cannot move. So then I can't imagine you can sit in it.
No.
So what's actually happening inside there? Isn't it
a lot of standing?
That you're sitting at a gala? Is there a dinner involved?
No, I think it's more like a cocktail, you know, hour kind of deal.
You just walk in and you're just standing around?
That's what I think.
With other famous people?
That's the impression I got, yeah.
Well, this is why we need to go. See, this is why I know what happens in Knicks Pacers. I've been to NBA games before, okay? I've seen that. I have no idea what's happening
we're putting
that's
it out there.
The Met.
Let's put it out there. Now, everybody knows. Okay, so I have a saying, you know, if I'm, you know, there's somewhere that I want to go and I need the invite, I say, I'm trying to go, all right? That's what I say. I put it out there. I'm trying to go. So I'm trying. We're trying to go to the Met Gala next
year.
There you go. It's a little bit too late for this year. You know, I'm here and it's I'm in South Florida. And it's 9 o'clock at night. All right. So
I mean, otherwise, we would have been invited.
But for next year, me and Amber, we're trying to go to the Met Gala. All right, so we put it out there into the universe.
I gotta be honest. I'm just first trying to get invited to the Dickie V Gala that he throws every year in Sarasota, Florida, which is where I'm from and where I live.
Doesn't Dickie V know the Wilson family runs Sarasota? Doesn't he know this?
He's not, clearly not aware. So Dickie V, he had his 19th annual gala in Sarasota over the weekend. He raised almost $25 million
wow,
for pediatric cancer
good job,
research. Unbelievable. Over two decades, he has raised almost $100 million for
wow.
the V Foundation. So unbelievable work. That's in Sarasota. I'm right down the road. I'm a cancer survivor.
All right,
I
so you're trying to go.
I'm trying to go.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go.
All right.
I'll donate money if somebody invites me.
All right, so you're trying to go to Dickie V's, you know, cancer benefit gala, and and both of us, we're trying to go. We're trying to go to the Met next year. All right,
yeah.
It's out there.
I think one seems more reasonable than the other.
I know the Mets. Let's do it.
Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. I think maybe we should just punt on what we were going to do here because now we've spent so much time.
Well, yeah, and I want to say something too real quick about this basketball game. You know, the Knicks right now, Knicks and Pacers are tied at 66. They're in the middle of the third quarter. But there is something cool that is happening, that has been happening at these playoff games at the Garden that I do want to point out, where they just showed in the middle of this run that the Knicks are making, Stephon Marbury is there. I can't tell you the last time that I saw Stephon Marbury in the States. Now, he's been playing in China for a really long time.
He's been coaching.
He's like their Michael Jordan in China.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. There are statues of him outside of one of the arenas there. He is their Michael Jordan. He's a really, really big deal. So it's cool to see Stephon Marbury. He's back at the Garden. He's there in the front row. He's up and cheering. But I can't recall another team, Amber, where the former players are there and involved with the team in a fan capacity the way that these former Knicks are. I mean, you go look around the front row, you got John Starks, you got Latrell Sprewell, you got Bernard King. It's a really cool scene what goes on there. I can't think of another team that does that.
L.A. It's because...
with the former players?
They didn't show it on TV, but apparently New York Yankee great Mariano Rivera is also there.
Right, but again, I mean, like, former Knicks. Yeah, I can't imagine Mariano Rivera.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed former Knicks. But, that's Mariano Rivera.
No, of course,
New York.
But I can't imagine Mariano Rivera's jumping up and down and fist pumping. He's the most reserved, laid-back guy, you know, like the coolest guy. I can't even imagine him doing that. That'd be amazing. All of a sudden, he's fist pumping and gyrating on the court there at Madison Square Garden. But I can't think of another team.
That's the sport he gets all fired up about.
Yeah.
To Tara's point, though, there's a lot of other stars and celebrities there from other sports. And I get what you're saying, like, in terms of actual former players.
The team.
But that's why. Like, that's why they're coming back. I mean, we do get some of that in Miami. That's why they're coming. Like, they come back to the cities where it's a scene and it's cool to be there, right? And I think that there's no city that's more like that than New York City, where you get
this also
the big stars
shock
on the floor
everyone.
Every game.
But Spike Lee's there.
Oh, he
shocking.
Made it.
That's shocking.
He made it out.
Never seen him in a Knicks game.
Showed up. Nice.
He showed up. This one time, Spike showed up. That game, by the way, is tied at 66 apiece. Just over 6 minutes left in the third quarter. So a very close battle there at Madison Square Garden. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian with Jonathan Zaslow filling in for Ian, we will find out what is a big deal and what is not a big deal on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is big deal, not a big deal. How was that, Zaz? Was that good?
Big deal or not a big deal.
There you go. I feel like we nailed it there. Tara, you ready? You want to jump in and take it away?
Sure. I'm not going to mimic the production, but that was good, guys. You could update the production
big
with
deal
that.
Or not a big not deal.
76ers team president Daryl Morey spoke on Monday and said the team is, quote, going to have continuity with our stars and our head coach, but we're going to have a lot of changes this season, unquote. Big deal or not a big deal, Jonathan?
Not a big deal because they have like two players, including Embiid, who are under contract for next year. So obviously there's going to be a ton of changes. So this is not a big deal. It's fairly obvious to anyone who's keeping up right there.
I think the only angle that might be a big deal is that he's giving us a hint that you are going to listen somewhat to Joel Embiid, which is really all he's saying, but that's not really surprising information. And clearly also he's looping Nick Nurse into those conversations.
Well, yeah, because well, he said, was he?
Right. Wasn't that the point of what Tara just said, where he said that it's going to be a collective decision with the coach and with our stars and our coach?
Oh, no, but what I meant was because Embiid was saying the big issue, he was lamenting how there's too much turnover with the team, and that's been their problem, that there hasn't been continuity. And so then Daryl Morey there is saying how, yeah, there's going to be continuity with our stars, but there's going to be major changes.
Oh, yeah, of course there's going to be changes around that. Like, that portion of it, like you said, is not a big deal because they don't have anybody else under contract. I mean, it's quite literally, it's of course it's going to be change. You have to make changes or they're not going to have much of a team to put out there. But, yeah, I think the fact that he's still obviously trying to appease Joel Embiid, the fact that he loops the coach into that, none of us thought, though, that Nick Nurse was on the hot seat at this point. So, yeah, I mean, overall, it's not a particularly big deal. Tara?
Dallas Cowboys EVP Stephen Jones was on Mad Dog Sports Radio Shine On Sports and reiterated that the franchise believes they can win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott. Quote, we're hanging around the rim. We just got to get the job done, unquote. Big deal or not a big deal, Amber?
I mean, this is not a big deal other than the fact that I tend to agree with him that they have to get a deal done with Dak Prescott. And I think that's information that we already knew. They are in salary cap hell. And certainly getting him to sign an extension and working things out where you can spread the numbers out over years would actually be a huge benefit to Dallas. I know, I understand people are, you know, listen, if you haven't won a ring yet as a quarterback, everybody wants to move on from you, except for, I don't know where the hell that they're going, that they would get a quarterback that's better than Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott has been a better than solid quarterback there in Dallas. And so if you're Dallas, you absolutely want to lock him up. Now, the problem is, Aslo, that Dak may not want to be locked up. Dak's going to be making an unbelievable amount of money this upcoming season, even if he doesn't get an extension in place. And then he'd be available on a free market after that. And if you're Dak Prescott and you've seen what's happened, even with the likes of the Kirk Cousins of the world coming off of Achilles injuries in their mid-30s, which are situations that Dak Prescott probably will not be finding himself in, then you feel pretty confident that you'd get crazy money from another team on an open market or be able to force Dallas's fan to pay you even more on the backside. So if I'm Dak, I don't know if I'm signing the extension, but yes, if I'm Stephen Jones and the team there in Dallas, absolutely I'm trying to get an extension done with Dak, and I didn't need him to tell me that. We knew that.
Well, I think if you're Dak, you're definitely signing the extension because we know the way injuries work in that sport, and you got to take all the money you can get whenever you can get it. But this is not a big deal because what do you expect Stephen Jones to say? I mean, is he going to make an appearance there, you know, on the radio and talk about, yeah, you know, we're a little bit lukewarm about Dak these days. Not quite sure. I mean, I got to be honest with you. There's a lot left to be desired watching Dak Prescott the last couple of years. So I'm really not sure what we're going to do about him. So this is not a big deal. Come on.
That'd be great. Gosh, I wish we had more of that.
Yeah, let's be honest. Let's be honest for once how we really feel about our quarterback. Not sure if we can win with this guy. Gotta be honest.
Tell the truth.
Yeah, that's why we're not paying him what he's asking for. Not sure if we can win with him.
Miles Turner just hit a buzzer beater three at the end of the third quarter, long three, to put the Pacers up 87-82 over the Knicks in game one. Big deal or not a big deal?
Still a quarter left. A quarter left.
Yeah.
So not a big deal yet. Also, big deal that you were way ahead of me because I just now saw the Miles Turner three. But overall, not a big deal. So we still got an entire quarter, and this is a very tight game. But if you're a Pacers fan, you feel pretty good about what they've been doing here through three quarters in the Garden.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go big deal. Not because, you know, he hit the three, but because this was a tie game in the middle of the quarter, and the Pacers had an excellent response to that Knicks run, and now they've taken the lead going into the fourth quarter, trying to steal game number one on the road. So I'm going to go big deal.
I'm going to go big deal, too, because I'm very proud of myself, because I just saw Turner on the back of the jersey, and I knew it was Miles Turner.
There you go. Look at
you. We're proud of you, too,
Tara. I'm still kind of a novice NBA fan, so I'm very proud of myself that I knew it was Miles Turner.
You're very well-versed in baseball and hockey. Baseball is, like, your number one, right? And then hockey.
No,
I thought hockey was, like, part of your repertoire. Okay. Baseball is all you got?
Top five goaltenders in the National Hockey League right now, Tara. Go.
No idea.
I thought you liked hockey.
Nah, I mean, I like it. I'm not that locked in to know a lot about it.
Did you tell me you've been to, like, numerous Rangers game, but you've never been to an NBA game?
I think that was where I got that. Hockey that much.
It's true. I've been to a lot of hockey games, and I really don't know much about hockey.
I mean, I would have off air earlier, I asked Jonathan why the Panthers have the best odds in the Eastern Conference, and he said they're the best team. And, like, I wanted to argue
it's
with
really
him,
simple.
Like, what about the Rangers? But, like, I can't, like, I know the Rangers won the President Trophy, like, but I don't know the argument of why the Rangers are better beyond that.
Yeah,
it's
a really
do that last
answer.
Season?
Two years ago. Panthers won the President's Trophy.
It's a curse,
two years
right?
Ago.
It's been a long
right.
time since
that's
someone
right.
won the President's Trophy and then won the Cup.
And a lot of times they exit
nice
early.
Do that too. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow marked a major offseason milestone on Monday coming off of November wrist surgery. As the team started the second phase of voluntary workouts, Burrow was in uniform and throwing a pass in a video shared by the team. Big deal or not a big deal, Amber?
Yeah, obviously it's going to be a very big deal for the Bengals to get back Joe Burrow. I think we forget how good that Bengals team is with Joe Burrow and how good, frankly, Joe Burrow is. And when you look at the landscape of the NFL moving forward this season, you have to absolutely throw the Bengals into the contender conversation as long as Joe Burrow is once again healthy. It's a very big deal, Zaslow, but also low-key, a lot of people haven't talked about Joe Burrow's durability issues through these first early years of his career. As great as his career has already been, Zaz, there are some concerns. I think legit concerns. Like, we have the conversations about quarterbacks like Tua, and then I don't feel like people have the conversation
right.
about Joe Burrow, but the man's injured every season.
Yeah, I'm going not a big deal, though. I don't agree that we forget how good, you know, the Bengals are when Joe Burrow's healthy. I haven't forgotten about that. I know Joe Burrow's really great. I think the Bengals are a Super Bowl contender as long as Burrow's healthy. But I'm going not a big deal because, I mean, all right, he's throwing again. We knew he was going to throw again. There was no real doubt that he was going to recover from this injury and be ready
true.
For next
he didn't
season.
Lose a limb.
Yeah. So it's not like I'm going to have to grow back. I'm going not a big deal.
Is Joe Burrow at the Met Gala? He strikes me as somebody who would be invited to the Met Gala.
No, but I did see Pat McAfee make the joke today that not only did his throws look really good, his hair looked like it was in midseason form.
Oh, wow.
That I will call a big deal.
See,
a
I'm
good hair
about.
Day for Joe Burrow is a big deal.
Yeah, that makes
We're
me
all
jealous.
About good hair days.
Yeah. Yeah. Some guys are jealous about the Super Bowl rings. Not Super Bowl rings, but, you know, he's a great quarterback. The talent. I'm jealous about
Super Bowl
hair.
Appearance.
Yeah, I'm jealous about the hair.
You're just jealous of Joe Cool's hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Tara, what else do we have?
Well, real quick, I could tell you about how the major league leading Phillies have won 6 straight and 10 of 11 and 17 of 20 and talk about if that's a big deal. But how about this? How about the Washington Nationals are sitting at 500 and currently in the final NL playoff spot here on May 6th? So
take it easy.
I want to declare that a big deal.
Yeah, I was like, wait, May 6th? That's not
No, it's a big deal.
Late?
It's a big deal.
Not late? Is it a big deal? I'll defer to you.
It's not really a big deal.
It's not October 6th.
I am a Nationals fan, and this is the first time they've been at 500 in like 3 years. And also, this is a team that had the worst record in baseball in 2023.
Yeah, I'm going not a big deal.
500 is like your World Series already on May 6th.
They had the worst record in baseball a season ago, and now here they are sitting at 500 early May.
Don't worry, the Marlins are doing... The Marlins are doing everything they can with their fire sale that is clearly happening before our eyes to go ahead and take over the spot of the worst record in baseball. Sherman should be ashamed of himself. We've got plenty more coming up here on ESPN Radio, including the Timberwolves Nuggets next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
The Florida Panthers, they are on the board. They're up
I literally just said to you, right, Amber? I said, all right, you know, when we wrap up the show at 10 Eastern, so the rest of my night's going to be just sweating out the third period of this Panther game. And, like, right after they got on the board first. So, you know, I got a little breathing room. Not a lot, but a little bit.
Roar.
Oh, there you go. Get fired up, Amber.
Roar.
All right.
You like
there
it?
You go.
Roar.
I do.
We're working on it. We're working on it for like 10 years. Yeah. Timberwolves Nuggets, that's happening tonight as well. 10 p.m. Eastern tip-off in that game. And Zaslow, a lot of people caught off guard by the fact that the Wolves were able to beat the Nuggets in game one in Denver, 106-99. We think of Denver as having the best home court advantage in the NBA because of that altitude largely. And Timberwolves were able to go ahead and take game one there. Real quick, Zaslow's head just hit the desk that I just saw on Zoom because the Bruins just got on the board. 1-1 now in Panthers Bruins. All right, we'll distract you from your terror there as you're watching Boston also score in this game. Let's turn our attention to Dave McMenamin, ESPN NBA reporter, kind enough to join us from Denver. And Dave, thanks so much for your time. What adjustment do you think Denver needs to do here to go ahead and take this series back against the Timberwolves?
As it's blown my mind a couple of days, I look back at all the times the Nuggets and Wolves have played since the start of the 2022-23 season. So it's been 14 games, and in that span, there's only been a point differential of 10 points. Denver's outscored the Wolves by 10 points. So we're talking about less than a point per game is deciding these matchups. With that said, every possession matters from the opening tip. And Michael Malone called out his starters on Sunday at their team film session saying, we need better starts, guys. They were a minus 23 in the first quarter over 5 games against the Lakers. And while they actually did win the first quarter in game one, 25-23, they had an 18-4 hole to start things off. They'd expend energy to get back into it. And that's something they want to avoid. So you start with a better start. That will help things. Also, that will get the crowd into it here at Ball Arena that's looking to cheer on the defending champs. And then without Rudy Gobert in the lineup tonight, you got to play fast and take advantage of that because, you know, you don't have that guy in the middle thwarting your shot.
Dave, with Chris Finch not on the bench again because he's dealing with, you know, the injury that he suffered at the end of the last series, what was the biggest adjustment for the Wolves coaching staff without him there?
So he's kind of on the bench. Like, he's just behind the bench. So he made a joke today that this is the first time he was in the second row since he was an assistant coach on the Nuggets about 10 years ago. But so he's there and he's involved. He just has his right-hand man, Mike Anori, the Wolves assistant coach, kind of taking his messages. If there's something that he sees that he wouldn't be able to project while sitting down, Michael will get up and kind of yell it out to the court, to the team, so they can be aware. But he's very much involved. So, you know, not as active, but his mind is active, and he's able to pass on his coaching tidbits as the game goes on.
Dave McMenamin joining us here on Amber and Ian Zaslow, filling in for Ian tonight. You mentioned Rudy Gobert is out tonight. He's not playing in this game due to the birth of his child. How do you think that changes things defensively for the Timberwolves? Are they still going to be able to be effective against Jokic?
I mean, they're a lot smaller, right? And kind of this is almost what Jokic wished for. He was asked after game one, what can you do to be impactful against this three-headed front line that Denver has in Naz Reid and Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns? He said, well, I guess I got to have a duplicate clone of myself. That's not possible, but one way you can make it more of a level playing field down low is to cut off one of the heads of the Hydra by not having Rudy Gobert here. So I imagine Denver, again, will try to go to Nikola Jokic even more so than they did in game one when he had, I think, 25 shot opportunities. Pre-game, Michael Malone said some of the turnovers that Nikola Jokic had in game one, he had seven of them, a game-high seven, was because, quite frankly, he was trying to do too much to be a playmaker and not call his own number when he was single-teamed. And so I think you'll see that 25-shot total that Jokic did in game one probably get up into the 30s, and we'll see an even heavier dose of the reigning finals MVP.
Yeah, I feel like, Dave, this is one of those games where, all right, Jokic had the rare inefficient game one. He didn't have double figures in assists. He didn't have double figures in rebounds. And then you add no Gobert tonight. I feel like he's pretty ripe for a triple-double performance tonight.
For sure, and he was just shy of a triple-double in game one. But, again, I think even more scoring than the 32 points he had in game one. And another guy you got to look to, Jamal Murray was subpar by his standards. He's one of the best playoff performers in the NBA today. He went scoreless in the first half. He did have 17 in the second half, but 17 is well below, about 10 points below his career playoff average. So it's going to be those two guys, those two stars for Denver. They got to step up, take care of home, tie this thing back up. Because if you go to Minnesota and the fan base has been waiting literally 20 years for a team this good to cheer for, and you're already up 2-0 on the defending champ, I'm not saying it can't be done, but you are severely behind the eight ball at that point. Also, think of that. Look at the NBA awards schedule. Rudy Gobert could be receiving his Defensive Player of the Year this week, and that hometown crowd in Minneapolis would be cheering him on for the team's record, and for the birth of his new child. So you want to avoid all that scenario by coming out, showing out your stars, and tying this thing up.
Dave McMenamin joining us live from Denver. Dave, to that point, because obviously if you have to go back to Minnesota and those fans have an opportunity to get involved, that feels like bad news to Denver. But right now they have an opportunity to tie things up, so when they are in that situation, they're on more even playing field. What does it mean for Denver to get this win with that home court advantage, though, that we always talk about as being like the best in the NBA because of the altitude? Or do you think that we're overstating that, because it didn't seem like the Timberwolves were bothered at all by the altitude in game one?
I mean, I covered the league for a while. It is a real thing. I think perhaps over time, as the NBA's players, quite frankly, have become better conditioned year-round, it's less of a thing, but it is a real thing. But it's more so just the home confines, the crowd behind you. You worked all 82 games to be the higher seed in the series. Denver's number two, Minnesota's number three. They won that late season showdown. I think it was April 10th to win that game, to win the season series 2-1 in order to get this home court. So for you to, if you were to kick it away completely by going down 0-2, you're kind of wasting all the work that you did from the start of training camp in October up until this moment. And so you know that there has to be urgency on the Denver side of things, but I'll say this. From seeing Anthony Edwards' progress over the last several years of his career, and particularly in this playoff, I don't think this moment's going to faze him whatsoever. And he'll be coming out looking for blood to try to give his team, the trump card going back home.
A lot of people would not be surprised by that by any means with what Ant has done so far in this postseason. Dave McMenamin, ESPN NBA reporter, live from Nuggets Timberwolves. Thanks, Dave. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
You got it, guys.
So, again, that game, it tips off at 10 p.m. Eastern. Also live action right now in front of our very own eyes. A very hard-fought game in New York. Indiana up 1 point. Well, now a couple points. Now it's 98-95 in the fourth quarter, about just under 8 minutes left there in the fourth. So a very back-and-forth, hard-fought game. It's been a close game the entire way through, Zaslow.
The Knicks right now are on a 10-2 run to get within 1 point here. It's a pretty good fourth quarter here so far.
The Knicks are?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. On my TV, so now Indiana's up 100-95 on.
Oh, okay.
What
yeah,
I'm watching.
Yeah. So Indiana so just answered back with a couple baskets, but yes, okay. You're right. But Indiana was up 9 just a few minutes ago, and New York had cut the lead to 1. But now you're right; it is 100-95.
Well,
seven and
now
half
New York's now it's 100-97. So New York scoring. So again, these teams battling it out, going back and forth and back and forth. The Boston Bruins, by the way,
take it easy.
2-1 right now over the Florida Panthers. So we'll keep you updated on all of the live action. But coming up next here on Amber and Ian with Jonathan Zaslow filling in for Ian tonight. What NBA stars would benefit from a change of scenery this offseason? We finish our game from earlier. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jalen Brunson has 5 straight 30-point games. That's tied with Bernard King in 1984 for the longest streak within a postseason in New York Knicks history. Jalen Brunson's playing pretty well in the playoffs. Josh Hart, by the way, Zaslow, also playing pretty well in these playoffs. The fourth 20-point game this postseason. That is as many as Josh Hart had in 81 regular season games this year.
Wow. And Dante DiVincenzo's over. Last I checked, he had 22 a few minutes ago. So, you know, that Villanova trio, everybody loves talking about that Villanova trio. They're doing a terrific job tonight.
Yeah, they certainly are. But the Pacers are hanging with them. Again, 104-103, about just under 5.5 left in the fourth. We'll keep you updated on the action there. But we were having a little fun earlier in the show here on Amber and Ian. Jonathan Zaslow filling in for Ian tonight with NBA stars that may or may not need a change of scenery. Jonathan
Ooh,
Zaslow.
Yes. Yes, we got the music. That means we're serious. Okay.
We've got the music. Tara, take it away.
Jonathan, does Klay Thompson need a change of scenery?
Okay, you know what? I think the easy answer is that yes, he could use a change of scenery. But I'm going to go that he shouldn't, because Klay Thompson's at the point in his career, he seems to be a bit sensitive. You saw the way he was this past season, you know, experiencing a decline in his career. And if he is at that point in his career, I think he's best suited to be in a situation where he knows everyone and he's comfortable. So I would say, no, he should not go for a change of scenery.
Now, this game is hard because we're doing it from the player's perspective then and not the team's perspective. Because if I'm the Warriors, I'm thinking very strongly about Klay Thompson and Draymond Green having a change of scenery, frankly, and kind of retooling that whole Warriors team. Nevertheless, I agree with you from the player's perspective. From Klay's perspective, I think you are going to end up having to take a discount to stay in Golden State. I don't think that they're going to pay you what you want to be paid. But I think if you're Klay, you go ahead and get that done because you're comfortable there. That's where you did the winning. That's where championships. You clearly are physically declining, even though, yes, you're still playing well. You're physically declining. And I think that that's probably a bit easier there in familiar territory. Tara?
Okay, to the official Miami Heat experts on ESPN Radio. Amber, does Jimmy Butler need a change of scenery?
Jimmy Butler does not need a change of scenery. Why the hell would you need a change
Correct
of scenery
answer.
From the place that you've been to two NBA finals and a shot away from another NBA finals here just over the last 5 years? Absolutely not. The man does not yet need a change of scenery. Now, I don't even think the Miami Heat need a change of scenery from Jimmy Butler. Now, whether they extend him where he wants to be extended, that's a whole different conversation. But the reality is the Jimmy Butler era in Miami has been a great era. Do I think the team needs to make changes? Absolutely. Do I think trades need to happen? Yes. I don't think that Jimmy Butler needs to be the cornerstone of a trade for Miami. So
Jimmy Butler does not need a change of scenery. I love when people say, oh, the Heat are wasting Jimmy Butler's prime years. Jimmy Butler has never had any more success in his entire career than he's had the last 5 years since he arrived in Miami. I mean, Jimmy Butler should get to the arena every morning and thank the Miami Heat every single day for putting him in a position to win like he never had before he got to Miami. So no, Jimmy Butler does not need a change of scenery.
You are so right. People act like he was out here winning championships before he got to Miami. I mean, not even close. He's been in the NBA Finals multiple times with this franchise. Why on earth would that man need a change of scenery?
Jonathan, does Giannis need a change of scenery?
No.
I think Tara was laughing at us there because we don't sound incredibly objective when we talk about the Heat. You know,
is that why you were laughing, Tara? Are you laughing at us? Tara, are you laughing at us?
I might have been. I feel like I was kind of thinking in my head, should we do a Stanley Cup playoff update?
Oh my god, we're getting.
I know
that's why you were laughing. Oh, you were laughing at Zaslow's pain.
We're getting.
Oh my gosh, you were laughing at Zaslow's pain. That's even worse than laughing at our unprofessionalism.
I was kind of more laughing at. Am I gonna be cruel and be like, let's get a Stanley Cup update, or am I gonna just avoid
goodness.
It?
The Panthers scored the first 3-1.
Panthers scored the first goal of the game with about 8 minutes, 9 minutes to go in the second period. And with seconds remaining, the Bruins now have scored 3 unanswered. It's a disaster. What's the question, Tara?
Something about Giannis.
Does Giannis need a change of scenery?
No. Giannis does not need a change of scenery. What Giannis needs, you know, we talk about Embiid and how he's never healthy. Giannis is never healthy. What does Giannis change of scenery have to do with his health? He's never available in the postseason. Giannis doesn't need a change of scenery. He needs to be able to play.
Yeah, I agree with Zaslow. Also, I don't think you leave an organization that has quite literally done everything it can to appease you, make you happy, and also you have gotten a championship out of it. But since that championship, they've bent over backwards to try to make you happy, bring in the right pieces around you. They continue to do it every year. We'll fire a coach mid-season, even though you have an overwhelming winning record. We'll bring in Doc Rivers if we need to. They have showed time and time again, even though I don't agree with all the moves that they've made, that Milwaukee is committed to Giannis. So I think Giannis should stay put and remain committed to Milwaukee. Tara?
How about Damian Lillard? Is he committed to Milwaukee? Does he need a change of scenery, Amber?
This one's tougher for me, Zaslow, because I want to say that the change of scenery he needs is down in the Sunshine State where he wanted to be to begin with Miami. Now, I don't know, frankly, how the Miami Heat are going to get that done at this point with Dame. He's still under contract for years to come, which is one of the hard parts about trading for Dame to begin with. Things did not go well in Miami for Dame. In Milwaukee for Dame, he did not seem happy in Milwaukee, although he has said numerous times it had nothing to do with Milwaukee, that he was going through a lot this season. I'll take him at his word there. Nevertheless, I think a change of scenery once again down to the 305. That'd be good for him.
Lillard, this is a really tough. No, it's not tough. Yes, he needs a change of scenery. That change of scenery should be Miami. This is the easiest one you've asked, Tara.
Your guys' obvious bias.
You're asking
not biased at all.
The questions are too easy, Tara. Too easy.
Subjective.
By the way, the Knicks are now up 111-109, and Jalen Brunson's at 36 points with 2:45 left. Dude's going to get 40 again, isn't he? He's now up to 38 points.
He's not the greatest player we've ever seen. Everyone needs to calm down about that. That dude's a good player.
He's not the greatest player we've ever seen, but dude's on a streak right now. Finally, Jonathan, does Trae Young need a change of scenery?
Yes, Trae Young needs a change of scenery. It feels like it's kind of run its course there in Atlanta. I kind of feel like both sides would look at each other and say, I think we're good. I think we've done everything we can together. Yeah, I can see Trae Young needing a change of scenery.
Remember when they had Luka, right? And then Dallas had Trae, and then they did a little swap skis.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, that didn't go great for the Hawks. I think that Trae Young, and I hate saying that because I like the idea of Trae Young in Atlanta, and like there's that part of me that feels like that the Hawks should have that superstar that Trae Young felt like he was going to turn into at one point, because he was very exciting. He is very fun. The style of basketball he plays, but it just hasn't worked out the way that it seemed like at one point that it was going to. And so I could see a change of scenery helping that. Jalen Brunson is 5 straight 35.5 assist game in these playoffs. It is tied with LeBron in 2009 and Michael Jordan in 1990 for the longest streak in NBA postseason history. Zazzo, I have to mention this before we hop off here. Have you noticed that our crew's a little different tonight with Tara and Josh in the saddle back there in Bristol, Connecticut, because James and Rachel are at wrestling?
That's right. They're at Monday Night Raw right now. No spoilers. I'm recording it. I'm going to watch it. I'll watch it after the Panther game tonight. Hopefully, big comeback in the third period. So no spoilers. But yes, they're at Monday Night Raw there, Amber. I guess they're in Hartford, maybe. I don't know. You would know better than me.
They are in Hartford, I believe. The spoiler is, you know, the script that they give to. So it can't be spoiled because it's not actually a live event. It's a scripted event. McAfee is there. So yeah. I know that that's happening. And Joe Fortenbaugh is there because he's a nerd like you and like Rachel and like James.
Or he's super cool.
And he
cool
enjoys
like
wrestling.
Me.
I wonder how many ESPNers are there. I feel like the entire audience there is probably half ESPN employees.
It's a great time. It's a great night.
Is it though? Is it?
Can I tell you, by the way, the Knicks are on this. Well, game's tied at 113 with 2 minutes left. They just showed the Yankees who are sitting in the front, you know, including Mariano Rivera. He's pretty fired up. I'll be honest.
There you go. You said that Mariano Rivera was so even-keeled and docile.
He was pretty fired up.
There you go. He's fired up.